طيب، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا من سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأزواجه وذرياته وأصحابه أجمعين. تريد أن تترجم الخطبة أنا أولا؟
نعم لا بأس،
نستمر.
طيب، نستمر إن شاء الله تعالى.
طيب، فالموضوع هو عن فضائل فاطمة بنت الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. فهي رضي الله عنها من بنات رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، وورد أنها الصغرى في بناته. وكان من فضائل فاطمة رضي الله عنها أنه لما يعني تآمر المشركون عليه عليه الصلاة والسلام في مكة، وكان يصلي عند الكعبة وهو ساجد عليه الصلاة والسلام، تشاوروا كفار قريش وهم في ناديهم أيهم يذهب إلى سلى بني فلان، سلى جذور بني فلان، فيأخذها ويضعها على ظهر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو ساجد. قال الراوي فانطلق أشقى القوم، وفي بعض الروايات أنه حقد ابن أبي معيط، فأخذها ووضعها على ظهره صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو ساجد، وبدوا يتضاحكون في ناديهم. فانطلق منطلق إلى فاطمة رضي الله عنها وهي صغيرة حول العشر كذا، فجاءت فأزالت هذا عن ظهر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وجعلت تسب القوم. وهذا من فضائلها رضي الله عنها أنها ذبت عن أبيها سيد المرسلين عليه الصلاة والسلام، فأزالت سل الجذور من على ظهره، لأنها جارية صغيرة وامرأة، وكانوا في الجاهلية لا يقتلون النساء كما في عصرنا هذا، كانوا لا يقتلون النساء وإنما يعني يقتلون الرجال فقط، أما في عصرنا هذا فقد كثر القتل حتى للأطفال والعياذ بالله. فهذا من فضائلها أنها يعني أزالت هذا الأذى عن أبيها نبي الله عليه الصلاة والسلام ورسوله إلى العالمين جميعا، فكان هذا من فضائلها رضي الله عنها، وأنها قد استفادت من أبيها وسمعت القرآن منه. ومن فضائلها رضي الله عنها أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أخبرها أنها عندما جاءت إلى مجتمع فيه نساء النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، ثم جاءت وكانت مشيها يشبه مشي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، فلما جاءت رحب بها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وقبلها بين عينيها وقال مرحبا بابنتي، وأقعدها بجنبه عليه الصلاة والسلام، ثم سارها بكلام فبكت بكاء شديدا، ثم بعد ذلك سارها مرة ثانية عندما رآها حزنت، وبعد ما سارها المسارة الثانية كلمها في إذنها المرة الثانية يعني ضحكت. فعند ذلك تعجبت عائشة رضي الله عنها فسألتها، فقالت ما كنت لأفشي سر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. فلما توفي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قالت لها عائشة رضي الله عنها من حقي عليك لما أخبرتيني بما يعني سارت به النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من بين زوجاته وكنا مجتمعات. فقالت أما الآن فنعم، أما المسارة الأولى فإنه أخبرني أن جبريل كان يعارضه بالقرآن في كل عام مرة، وأنه عارضه في هذا العام مرتين وقال ولا أراه إلا اقتراب أجلي، فاتق الله واصبري فإنه نعم السلف لك أنا. قالت فبكت أفبكيت؟ فلما رأى إذني سرني مرة ثانية وقال أما ترضين أن تكوني سيدة نساء هذه الأمة، وفي بعض الروايات سيدة نساء أهل الجنة، فهذا من فضائلها رضي الله عنها، وأنها سيدة نساء هذه الأمة أو سيدة نساء أهل الجنة رضي الله عنها، وهذه بشارة من الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. تريد أن ترجم ما تقدم لأن عندنا قصة بعدها بتطول يعني فيما يتعلق. نعم اي نعم
مترجم على نعم. بسم الله. سورة الشيخ حفظه الله تعالى. He began by mentioning Khutbat al-Hajjah, which states, indeed, all of the praises for Allah. We praise Him, we seek His aid, we seek His forgiveness. We likewise seek refuge with Allah from the evil that resides within our souls and from the consequences of our evil actions. He whom Allah Ta'ala guides, there's no one that can misguide him. And he who Allah Ta'ala allows to go astray, there's no guidance for him. And we testify that there's none worthy of worship except Allah, who is one having no partners and equals. And we testify likewise that Muhammad is the slave and messenger of Allah. And may the present peace of Allah Ta'ala be upon him and upon his family members and his companions and those who follow them with goodness until the day of recompense. The Shaykh Hafidhahullah, he said that the topic today which we shall speak to you concerning is concerning the virtues of Fatima, the daughter of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And she was from his banas, she was from his daughters. And it has been reported that she is the youngest of all of his daughters. And from the virtues of Fatima is an incident which took place in Mecca, wherein the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was making prayer at the Kaaba. And the Quraysh, the Kufar from amongst the Quraysh, they began to debate amongst themselves and to encourage one another, saying who from amongst them would go and place some feces from their camels, which was, you know, which they had stored up, some feces and blood and urine and the likes of this from their camels, and go place it upon the back of Muhammad while he was prostrating in prayer. And so one of them stepped up and said that I will do it. And so he went and he took this feces and discussed the matter, which was
Bukhari. روى البخاري رحمه الله عن المسور بن مخرمة رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال فاطمة بضعة مني فمن أغضبها أغضبني.
عفوا يا شيخ.
للحديث سبب.
عفوا يا شيخ أنا ما زلت في ترجمة
نعم
أقول أنا ما زلت في ترجمة الآن. Now, so the Shaykh, Hafidhahullah, he went on to mention that that Fatima or Afwan, that the Quraysh, they were debating as to who would go and place these this matter from the back of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So one of them stepped up and said that he would do it. So he went, and while the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was prostrating in prayer, he poured this disgusting matter, this feces and the likes of this, upon the back of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while he was prostrating in prayer. And so Fatima, the daughter of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when she saw what had happened, and the Messenger of Allah, he continued to prostrate in prayer the entirety of the time while they had done this to him. So Fatima, when she saw this, she became upset, and she ran to the defense of her father, and she began removing this matter from his back while he was prostrating and repudiating the kufar for what they had done. And so the Shaykh said that no doubt this is indeed from her virtues, because she was still a small girl at this particular time. However, she had the qualities of a woman, and she and the women at that time, they were not like the women of today, such that they believe that bravery and courage is only something which is specific to the men. Rather, they had bravery and they had courage and they had valor even back then, and how she confronted them for what they had done to her father and defended her father in this particular manner. So she defended her father, who was in fact the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was the messenger of Allah to all of mankind and the jinn. And from that as well, as that she was a young lady who had benefited greatly from her father and had learned a great deal of knowledge from him. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one day, while he was sitting, he was sitting, Fatima had entered upon him, and she came to him in the message of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He kissed her upon her forehead, but between her two eyes, and she said, "Marhaban." He said to her, "Welcome to my beloved daughter." And she sat down next to him. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he whispered something into her ear. And when he whispered something into her ear, she began crying severely. And so some time later, he whispered into her ear a second time, and she began laughing. And so when Aisha saw this, Aisha radiallahu anha, she was amazed at what had happened and took place. So later she asked Fatima to tell her what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had whispered to her. So Fatima, she said, "I will not disclose the secret of my father." And so after the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, later Aisha came and asked her again concerning the same situation. And after he had passed away, Fatima said, "Okay, I will tell you now." And so Fatima told her that when he first whispered into my ear, he told me that the angel Jibreel normally comes to him and recites the Quran to him one complete time every year. And he would recite the Quran back to him like this. However, this particular year, he came to him twice and recited the Quran to him twice, and he recited it back to him twice. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told her that "I do not perceive this except that to mean that my death is near. And so you are to have taqwa of Allah and be patient, for I am indeed the best salaf for you." So when Fatima heard this, she said that I began crying severely. So then he whispered to me a second time, and he told me that should it not please you, or will it please you that you are indeed the chief of the women of this ummah? And in another narration, it mentions that she is the chief of the women of Jannah. And when he told me this, I began to laugh. And so this indeed is a glad tiding from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Either way, in either narration of the hadith, that she is the chief of the women of this entire ummah, or that she is the chief of the women of paradise, no doubt, either way, this is a glad tiding which was given to her by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Naam, ya Shaykh, barakallahu fiqh.
Walil hadith sababun, wahu ma rawahu al-imam Muslim fi sahihihi an ibn Abi Mulaika. أن المسور بن مخرمة حدثه أنه سمع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم على المنبر وهو يقول إن بني هشام بن المغيرة استأذنوني أن ينكحوا ابنتهم علي بن أبي طالب فلا آذنوا لهم إلا أن يحب ابن أبي طالب أن يطلق ابنتي وينكح ابنتهم، فإنما ابنتي بضعة مني يريبني ما يريبها أو ما رابها ويؤذيني ما آذاها. وفي رواية إن علي بن أبي طالب رضي الله عنه خطب بنت أبي جهل على فاطمة فسمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو يخطب الناس في ذلك على منبره هذا، وأنا يومئذ محتلم، وقال إن فاطمة مني وإني أتخوف أن تفتن في دينها. قال ثم ذكر سهرا له من بني عبد شمس فأثنى عليه في مصاهرته إياه فأحسن. قال حدثني فصدقني ووعدني فأوفى لي، وإني لست أحرم حلالا ولا أحل حراما، ولكن والله لا تجتمع بنت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وبنت عدو الله مكانا واحدا. فهذا يدل على فضل فاطمة وذب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. وفي رواية أن فاطمة رضي الله عنها أتت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقالت إن قومك يتحدثون أنك لا تغضب لبناتك، وهذا علي ناكح ابنة أبي جهل. وفي رواية فترك علي رضي الله عنه الخطبة، يعني هذا هو طبعا حلال له أن يتزوج، ولكنه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم خاف أن تفتتن ابنته، ويعني بهذه الضرة التي كانت ابنة لعدو الله، وإن كانت هي مسلمة لكنها ابنة لعدو الله بجهل الذي كان رأس المشركين في مكة، فخاف النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم على ابنته أن تفتتن بسببها، فمنع ذلك عليه الصلاة والسلام. فهذا من فضائل فاطمة رضي الله عنها، وقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن فاطمة بضعة مني، وفي الرواية الأخرى إنها ابنتي ويريبني ما يريبها، وفي بعض الروايات يؤذيني ما آذاها، فلا شك أن هذا من فضائلها رضي الله عنها. وقد وصفها صلى الله عليه وسلم بأنها يعني سيدة نساء هذه الأمة أو سيدة نساء أهل الجنة، فهي هذا من فضلها رضي الله عنها. ولا نكتفي بهذا، نكتفي بهذا حتى تتم الترجمة ثم بعد ذلك.
نعم صدق الشيخ حفظه الله يمتشن صارت the hadith which is reported by Imam Muslim comes on the authority of Ibn Abi Mulaika, that he mentioned that it was reported to him that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was upon the minbar, and he went on to mention indeed Bani Hisham Ibn Mughira, they had reported to him and informed him that Ali he had intended on proposing to a woman upon Fatima, meaning that he was going to marry another woman upon Fatima. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, and as it relates to this particular issue, that indeed Fatima juz'un minni, that she is a part of me, that she is from me, and I am pleased by way of that which pleases her, and I am displeased and angered by way of that which displeases and angers her. And it's reported in another narration that Ali, he had proposed, and we'll see why he mentioned this, that Ali had proposed to the daughter of Abu Jahl, the daughter of Abu Jahl. And so the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned, as it relates to this particular affair, that I do not make halal that which Allah Ta'ala has made haram, and make haram that which Allah Ta'ala has made halal. However, it is not proper and befitting that the daughter of the enemy of Allah be like a co-wife to the daughter of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so this shows us, the Shaykh mentioned, the virtues of Fatima. It indeed highlights and shows the daughter of Fatima. It's mentioned that Fatima, she came to, regarding the same situation, that she came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said that the people say that the Messenger of Allah, he does not get angry on the account of his daughter. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he spoke concerning this particular incident, and it's stated that Ali, he had in fact left off the proposal to the daughter of Abu Jahl. And this is in spite of the fact that she was Muslim. The daughter of Abu Jahl was Muslim at this time. However, her father was the enemy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the enemy of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this no doubt would be a cause for trial. It would be a cause for fitna for Fatima, that she be combined in marriage as a co-wife to a woman who was the daughter of the enemy of Allah. And so all of this, the Shaykh, he mentioned, it shows us the virtue of Fatima. Likewise, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned, in the narration which we mentioned previously, that he said concerning her that Fatima is a part of me, she is a piece of me, and I am pleased by way of that which pleases her, and I am angered and upset by way of that which upsets and angers her. Likewise, that he had described her as being, as we heard previously as well, the chief of the women of this ummah, or in another narration, the chief of the women of paradise. All of this goes to highlight and show her great standing and the virtues which Fatima has in al-Islam. Naam ya Sheikh, barakallahu fi.
أيضا نستفيد من هذا، أولا أنه يجب علينا نحن أهل السنة، أو وأنه أيضا من عقيدتنا أننا نحب أهل بيت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، نحب الصحابة عموما ونترضى عنهم عموما، ونحب أصحاب ونحب أقارب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أهل بيته، منهم فاطمة وذريتها ذرية علي رضي الله عنهم، ومنهم بنو العباس وبنو عبد المطلب، ونحبهم في الله سبحانه وتعالى محبة زائدة، كما قال الله سبحانه وتعالى آمرا لنبيه محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم: ولا أسألكم عليه أجرا إلا المودة في القربى. والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لما خطب في خطبته يوم غدير حم أنه قال: ألا إنما أنا أيها الناس، إنما أنا بشر مثلكم يوشك أن يأتي رسول ربي فأجيب، يعني الموت، وإني تارك فيكم ثقلين أولاهما كتاب الله فيه الهدى والنور، من تمسك به كان على الهدى ومن تركه كان على ضلالة، فخذوا بكتاب الله واستمسكوا به. يعنيهما أهل بيتي، اذكركم الله في أهل بيتي، اذكركم الله في أهل الله، الله سبحانه وتعالى محبة شرعية لا محبة غلو كما يفعل الشيعة، إنما نحب محبة شرعية في الله ومن أجل قرابتهم من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. نكتفي يعني بهذا حتى تتم الترجمة. نعم. وليس في هذا الحديث حجة للشيعة الذين يزعمون أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وصى لعلي، فإن علي رضي الله عنه قد نفى ذلك عن نفسه وقال: ليس عندنا شيء نختص به إلا ما في هذه الصحيفة، ثم طلع صحيفة فيها أسنان الإبل، يعني ما يتعلق بالديات، وفيها المدينة حرم من ما بين يعني عاير إلى ثور، فمن أحدث فيها حدثا عليه لعنة الله والملائكة والناس أجمعين. ويعني لما أخبر بهذه الصحيفة أخبر أنها ليس عند أهل البيت شيء أن يخصهم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم به دون المسلمين إلا هذه الصحيفة التي كتبها علي حفظا للعلم رضي الله عنه. أما الشيعة فيدعون أنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وصى له بالخلافة، وهذا كذب وافتراء ولا أساس له من الصحة. ثانيا، أن أهل البيت كما أننا نحبهم لله المحبة الشرعية لا يرضون لأنفسهم أن يصرف لهم شيء من أنواع العبادة كما تفعل الشيعة، ويغلون في أهل البيت وينادونهم ويستغيثون بهم، ويزعمون أن الله وكلهم بحساب الناس يوم القيامة، وهذا كذب وافتراء على الله عز وجل. قال الله تعالى: ومن أظلم ممن افترى على الله كذبا أو كذب بالحق لما جاء. قال سبحانه وتعالى: فمن أظلم ممن افترى على الله كذبا، وإلى آخر الآية. فهؤلاء الشيعة الرافضة يفترون على الله الكذب، ويزعمون يصرفون لأهل البيت أنواع من العبادة، ولا شك أن أهل البيت رضي الله عنهم لا يرضون بهذا، ولو كانوا أحياء لحاربوا من غلا فيهم وعبدهم، كما أن علي رضي الله عنه حرق السبعية الذين غلوا فيه وزعموا أنه الله، وهذا يعني دليل على أن أهل البيت رضي الله عنهم لا يرضون بغلو الشيعة فيهم وصرف أنواع من أنواع العبادة لهم، فهم يبغضون ذلك. ترجم هذا.
نعم. الله أكبر. So the Sheikh حفظه الله تعالى, he said that is also from that which we benefit from this particular affair is that Ahl Sunnah, we no doubt love the family members of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We love them and we honor them, and we love, in fact, all of the companions in general. We love all of them in general, especially in the family of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And from them is Fatima, the daughter of the Messenger of Allah, and Hassan and Ali, and those offspring of hers who came about by way of Ali. Likewise, the progeny of Al-Abbas, the uncle of the Messenger of Allah, and Abdul Muttalib, and their progeny, those of them who had embraced Islam and held fast to it. And we love them, one, for their Islam and their companionship to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and likewise for their relation to him and their nearness to him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said during a khutbah, he said, "O people, I am but a human being just like you, and perhaps the messenger of my Lord will come to me," meaning death, meaning that death will, is near and shall come to me soon. "So I'm leaving amongst you two things of which you are to hold fast to. And the first of them is the Book of Allah. It contains within it guidance and light. And the one who clings to it, he no doubt shall be successful. And the second of them being my household, my family members, and the two of them shall not depart from one another." He said, as for this particular narration, it does not contain, however, a proof for the Shia that Ali and the household of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam hold a particular type of rank that goes outside of that which is legislated. He said that for Ali himself had negated this from himself, and likewise from the family of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He himself negated that. He said, for example, in a narration which comes from Ali, that we, the family members of the Messenger of Allah, do not have anything special or specific to us, with the exception of what is inside the Sahifa, which is with the exception of what is inside this particular a manuscript which Ali himself had written, which was nothing but notes containing knowledge and benefits that he had written and compiled himself. He said that there's nothing special due to us, with the exception of what is inside this. So, and you find that the Shia, Rafida, they take these types of narrations and they slander and they lie regarding the household of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and taking them above and beyond their legislative virtue, which Ahl Sunnah acknowledge. And the second thing, we see that we love them. That we love the family members of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the type of love that is legislated, and it is not the type of love which contains extremism, such as is found with the Rafila, which contains within it, their love for them contains within it a worship of other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You find them making istighatha, seeking deliverance and aid from them, supplicating to them, and the likes of this, and all of these are lies upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah ta'ala, he mentioned inside of the Quran, and he who is more of a fabricator than he who lies against Allah, and to the end of the ayah. And the Shaykh, he said that no doubt the types of these verses, they bear the description of the Rafi, the Shia, without a doubt, because these people, they go beyond bounds as it relates to their veneration and love of the family members of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We find that Ali ibn Abi Talib himself, as it relates to the Saba'iyya, we found him punishing them by way of burning them. All of this which goes to show that Ali and the family members of the Messenger of Allah, in truth, are actually free from the extremism of the Rafida Shia, and they have nothing to do with it. The Father Shaykh Khanam Shkura Majura.
على الرافضة في غلوهم في أهل البيت أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لما أنزل الله عليه قوله تعالى وأنذر عشيرتك الأقربين وهو في مكة جمع قريش وعم وخص فقال يا معشر قريش أنقذوا أنفسكم من النار لا أغني عنكم من الله شيئا يا بني عبد المطلب أنقذوا أنفسكم من النار لا أغني عنكم من الله شيئا يا بني هاشم أنقذوا أنفسكم من النار لا أغني عنكم من الله شيئا إلا أن لكم رحما سأدلها ببدالها يا عباس بن عبد المطلب أنقل نفسك من النار، لا أغني عنك من الله شيئا. يا صفية عمة رسول الله أنقذي نفسك من النار، لا أغني عنك من الله شيئا. يا فاطمة بنت محمد سليني من مالي ما شئت، لا أغني عنك من الله شيئا. يعني إذا خالفوا التوحيد ووضعوا في الشرك فالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يغني عنهم من الله شيئا، وهو رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. وهذا حسن من حسن تربيته صلى الله عليه وسلم لأصحابه ولأهل بيته عليه الصلاة والسلام. فنادى فاطمة وخصها وقال لا أغني عنك من الله شيئا، وهي ابنته، لو خالفت التوحيد وخالفت اتباع الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يغني عنها من الله شيئا. فكيف يزعم الشيعة أن الله وكل أهل البيت بحساب الناس يوم القيامة، وزعموا أنه لأن حتى الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يجاوز الصراط إلا بصدق من علي بن أبي طالب، كبرت كلمة تخرج من أفواههم يقولون إلا كذبا. ترجم هذا.
نعم الشيخ حفظه الله. He said, likewise, from that which is a refutation against the ghulu and extremism of the Rafida Shia is that which the Prophet ﷺ said after Allah Ta'ala had revealed the verse saying, and warn your kindred concerning the fire. Warn your kindred concerning that. And so the Messenger of Allah ﷺ, he gathered the people, he gathered the Quraysh and had all of them gather. And he said, Ya Quraysh, have taqwa of Allah. For indeed, I am not able to benefit you at all in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do anything for you. And he said that, likewise, O Bani Abdul Muttalib, I have taqwa of Allah, for I'm not able to benefit you at all before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. O Banu Hashim, have taqwa of Allah, for I'm not able to benefit you all in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. O Abbas and his progeny, then have taqwa of Allah, but I'm not able to benefit you all in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. O Safiya, the aunt of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, have taqwa of Allah, but I'm not able to benefit you all in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. O Fatima, the daughter of Muhammad, take from my wealth whatever you want to take. However, I'm not able to benefit you all in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Shaykh said, meaning that if the people oppose the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they fall into polytheism and shirk, then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will in that case not be able to do anything for them, even though they are related to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is from the tarbiyah and the cultivation which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave to his companions and likewise gave to his family, from them Fatima, his noble daughter, to cling and hold fast to the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and avoid polytheism and shirk. Otherwise, he would not be able to do anything for them. So how can the Shia claim that by way of their over-veneration and worship of the family members of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that they are falling into shirk and polytheism? By way of all of this, then they shall have something coming from them for them on the Day of Judgment. Indeed, great is that statement which comes out of their mouths. They do nothing but lie. Naam, ya Sheikh. Barakallahu fiik.
انت ها؟
نعم يا شيخ.
اريد ان اختم بكلام الامام الطحاوي رحمه الله في العقيده الطحاويه. قال رحمه الله تعالى: ونحب اصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ولا نفرط في حب واحد منهم ولا نتبرأ من واحد منهم وحبهم ونبغض من يبغضهم وبغير الخير يذكرهم ونبغض من يبغضهم وبغير الخير يذكرهم وحبهم دين وإيمان وإسلام وبغضهم كفر ونفاق وطغيان. فهذا يعني من عقيدة أهل السنة والجماعة أننا نحب أهل البيت محبة شرعية في الله كما تقدم لنا، ونحب الصحابة عموما ولا نتبرأ من واحد منهم كما تفعل الشيعة، ولا نبغضهم بل نحبهم ونتبرأ من يبغضهم، والذي يبغضهم يدل أن في قلبه زيغ. وقد سئل الإمام أبو زرع الرازي عن رجل يقع في أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال ذلك زنديق زنديق زنديق، لأنهم سندنا إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، هم الذين بلغوا عنا الدين، بلغوا إلينا دين الله عن رسول عن طريق على نقلوا عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، فهو يريد أن يبطل سندنا الذين نقلوا إلينا هذا الدين. فهذا يعني ما يتعلق بمن يسب الصحابة الشيعة قبحهم الله، الشيعة الرافضة الذين يلعنون أبا بكر وعمر ويكفرون الصحابة، وهذا لا شك أنه كفر وضلال والعياذ بالله. نسأل الله أن يرزقنا وإياكم حب أهل بيته وحب صحابته عموما، محبة شرعية في الله سبحانه وتعالى، ونسأل الله أن يرضى عنهم ويجمعنا وإياكم بهم في دار كرامته في جنات النعيم. هذا، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين، والحمد لله رب العالمين.
نشكركم شيخنا على هذه كلمة طيبة، ونسأل الله أن يجعلها في ميزان حسناتكم يوم القيامة. الله يحفظكم شيخنا، حياكم الله. Now, so the Sheikh, he concluded by mentioning, and he said, we'll close with this, that which is mentioned by Imam al-Tahawi within Aqidah al-Tahawiyah, when he said that that we love the companions of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all of them, and we do not single out a single person from amongst them with love. And likewise, we do not disavow or disassociate ourselves from anyone of the companions of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And likewise, we hate the one who hates them, and we reject the one who rejects any of them. And loving them is Islam, it is piety, and it is religiosity, whereas hating them is disbelief, it is nifaq, it is destruction. So the Sheikh, he said that this, no doubt, is the aqeed of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, that we love the companions in general. Likewise, we love his household and his family members with a love that is legislated, and we don't disavow or disassociate ourselves from anyone of the Sahaba, the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And thus, by way of that disavowal of the companions, we go astray and we deviate. Abu Zur'a al-Razi, he had heard, alayhi rahmatullah, a man, was asked concerning a man who reviles the companions of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, Zindiq, Zindiq, Zindiq. He said three times this person is a Zindiq. And he said that no doubt the one who disavows and speaks evilly and reviles the companions of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this individual, he seeks to cut the tie between the people and the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, you find from amongst the Rafida that they make takfir, they declare the companions to be disbelievers. They declare Abu Bakr and Umar and the virtuous companions to be disbelievers. And no doubt, this is from the worst types of deviation. So the Sheikh, he closed out with this particular affair, saying that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the sound and correct love of the family members of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Likewise, to give us the sound and correct love of the Sahaba. And he closed on this particular note, هذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. نعم جزاكم الله خير شيخنا وبارك فيكم.
حياكم الله.
الله يحفظكم.
السلام عليكم.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.